Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Patrick Beverley said that if LeBron decides to play, then the season would continue. And according to reports, LeBron does not think playing games will hinder the move for social change. But we still haven't heard from him in the past few days. Kyrie Irving, though, is sticking to his opinion that play should not resume. Kyrie and Lakers guard Avery Bradley are leading a players' coalition voicing their concerns about the season resuming. So, Skip, is Kyrie challenging LeBron's leadership here?
Yes, he is. At least he's trying. How successful he will be, I'm not sure, Shannon. But I think there's a groundswell of support on Kyrie's side. And maybe for the first time in LeBron's career, he might find himself on the wrong side of this issue for the right reason. Mm-hmm. I told you from the start, I'm so conflicted here. Self-interest, I'm disqualifying myself. My head is with LeBron. I want the league to play because our very livelihood depends on it. Mm-hmm. My heart is with Kyrie and Dwight and Avery Bradley in this players' coalition because they're right. And I believe right now at this flashpoint moment that we're in this country, the white community's eyes, ears, minds wide open to the oppression of black people for, as you say, 500 plus years. That right here, right now, a majority of Americans will be on Kyrie's side. And they delivered to ESPN yesterday a scathing, what read like a manifesto of what they want to do and not do. And he said, we are truly at an inflection point in history where as a collective community, we can band together and unify as an oppressed community going on 500 plus years of being systematically targeted, used for our intellectual property, our talent. We have had enough. And his conclusion, or their conclusion in their manifesto was, we will not just shut up and play to distract us from what this whole system has been about from the start, use and abuse. Well, I know Shannon Sharpe's heart, and you're with that.
Yes, absolutely.
I am not going to condemn LeBron James for wanting to play basketball because right now his legacy does hang in the balance. He has a chance right now with a Lakers team that has the best record in the West and just might be even better, as we just saw at the end of what we concluded as the regular season, just might even be better than the Bucks. Mm-hmm. They showed that at
right.
the end.
Mm-hmm.
They should be the odds-on favorite to win a championship that could really help LeBron's legacy as he nears the end of his 17th season. So I'm not even going to criticize him for wanting to play basketball with a self-interest in mind of, yeah, it's what I do. And it's what I want to do for my legacy. But, Shannon Sharpe, two things can be true. Mm-hmm. LeBron, he's highly capable of doing both. But the bigger statement could be made by the coalition of players who would say, no, we want to take that away from America right now. Mm-hmm. We want to make a statement by withholding what we do best, what we are, quote unquote, born to do, because we're being oppressed, and this is the time to drive home our point by not playing basketball.
Right.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a growing coalition. 100 players participated on Friday night in a big Zoom-type call, and one of them was not LeBron James because he's already on the record. I am playing.
Right.
The player reps voted unanimously to play. So Kyrie's taking on every player rep.
Right.
No, 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 no. He's drawing in entertainers. I don't know who they are because they have not identified, but he said, we have a number of entertainers in our movement.
Right.
We have WNBA players on our side. We have maybe, to me, a majority of America on your side this point in time. So I think LeBron is increasingly being pushed into a more and more awkward position where, yeah, he wants to play. A lot of people want him to play, but a whole lot more people want justice served. And for the first time in his career, I think LeBron's going to feel a little heat here, a little backlash, a little criticism that he's never felt before because he is widely proclaimed as the number one activist in all of sports. And one of the, I'm not going to put him in the Ali category, the Bill Russell,
right.
even the Colin Kaepernick category, but he is historically great as an activist.
Right.
He has been very outspoken until this moment when he needs to play, and I don't begrudge him that, but he also needs to speak. We have heard nothing from LeBron over the last 72-ish hours, and I keep waiting, is he going to speak? Well, you made the point to me earlier in the show. Well, he already spoke.
Yeah.
He's playing. So maybe he's saying, I don't need to. It's like beneath me. I already told you what I'm going to do.
Right.
And yet, is his Laker team being split? Dwight and Avery and now Lou Williams of the Clippers. I think he's on their side.
Right.
And Damian Lillard was so conflicted last night on ESPN because he said our hearts and minds are with our community and we should be there. So he said, Kyrie and Dwight have a point. Now, Damian concluded, I guess I'm going to risk it and go play. And by the way, COVID is still a big issue here. Mm-hmm. How safe will it be? Who knows?
Right.
So, again, LeBron, listen, Kyrie is, he's resentful of LeBron. He showed you that. He left Cleveland. He's a little jealous of LeBron. I think he wants to be LeBron. I don't think he has the intangibles to be LeBron.
Right.
But he's got a big voice. He's a deep thinker. He's a radical thinker. And all of a sudden, he has a cause that millions of people believe in right here, right now. And it's going to back LeBron deeper and deeper into a corner. Does he need to speak? Does he need to clarify his position? Or should he just go ahead and go play? Because some people on his timeline right now are probably saying, LeBron, aren't you with these guys?
Right.
Because he's always been with the cause before.
Skip, I believe both of these guys want to arrive at the same destination, but they're just using different modes of transportation. Kyrie says, let's walk this thing. Take our time. We'll arrive where we arrive.
And by the way, I should point out before you go on,
go ahead.
It's easier for Kyrie to say he's not even going to play. He's coming off shoulder surgery, as is his best friend and co-star, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're out already.
Right.
So it's a little easier, but go ahead.
If they were first or second seed and both of those guys were healthy, it'd be interesting to see.
All right, okay.
Maybe they have the same.
Maybe.
We'll never know, Skip.
Yeah.
But I believe LeBron and Kyrie are trying to get to the same destination. We want what's best. They want what's best for their people that they feel have been oppressed for such a long time that have received the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Now, Kyrie says, I don't believe we should play. Keep the pressure on America. We're going to take something from you until you give us something in return.
Got it.
LeBron says, look, America, we're going to go play. But if you think for 1 second we're letting up on this, that's not happening. Okay. Because you always made promises that you have been unwilling to keep. And we're not going to let this slip by this time. We're not going to let this crisis. Politics, Skip, you never let a crisis go to waste.
No.
This is a crisis. They're not letting it go to waste. Skip, there was an opportunity. 92, when Craig Hodges says he tried to get Magic and MJ
to boycott the first game of the finals, game one at Chicago.
It's like, nah.
Yep.
So we've had instances, Skip.
And he said they just scoffed at him.
We can't do that.
No.
We've never had the groundswell that what we've had.
That's a good point, about Craig Hodges.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've never had this kind of groundswell.
Never.
Skip. Not just America. We're talking about the world. We've seen millions and millions of people around the world say, you know what, America, you're not the only one that got this problem. Because I'm noticing where I am in the Netherlands and where I am in Germany and this place over there, if my skin is not like theirs, I'm treated differently. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you bring that up. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They got a lot of racist monuments up, too. Let's pull them down.
Mm.
So now we have the entire world basically that's it ain't simmering anymore, Skip. Mm-hmm. It's been simmering for a couple of years. It's boiling now. And the lid blew off of here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyrie is saying, guys, we cannot let this moment go. And LeBron says, we're not going to let it go. I believe we can do two things, Kyrie. I believe we can play. And then at the end of the game, win, lose, or draw, we talk about it. Although it was great to get back at it, the greatest support should be for the men and women that's taken to the street, that's making sure our voices are heard, to make sure that the George Floyd, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yep.
That we continue to build as a society, and what the flag and what America was supposed to be intended for everybody is just not for the majority. So I believe that's what LeBron is trying to say. Now, we've never seen two people, Skip, fighting for the same thing, having different ways to go about it.
Yep.
And I think that's what we have here. And Kyrie, look, Kyrie's a deep thinker. As I said before, Kyrie's listening, like, hold on, wait a minute. For 401 years, our cries have not been heard. Mm-hmm. Our tears haven't been wiped. And we had no light shine on us. Mm-hmm. So I want someone to see us. I want someone to, not Kyrie Irving, not LeBron James. I'm talking about the guy that's in Minneapolis that lost his life. I'm talking about Terrence Crutcher from Tulsa.
Yeah.
Or Walter Scott from Charleston.
Yeah.
And Trayvon. That's mm-hmm. what we want. That's what we need. Breonna Taylor, we still haven't arrested her. How you going? Mm-hmm. How you know not kill somebody, shoot them 8 times, and don't even mention it?
And then last Friday night.
Yes.
Atlanta.
Yes. And you hear all the people, you hear and listen to the police officer, Skip. You had that man's information.
Had it all.
You got his car. He got to come get it. What are you going to do? How you going to get around? He got a wife and 3 kids. And a stepdaughter. So he got 4 kids. So how are you going to get around? He got to come get the car.
He's got a taser. It's not a deadly weapon.
Yes. And he's running.
You can't shoot him in the back.
So and so that's where we are, Skip. Hopefully that everybody gets to it. And whatever the Skip, like you said, it's almost a death blow for us because now we really wouldn't have anything to talk about. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem baseball. Obviously, we could flip over and talk some baseball, but it doesn't look like they're going to get their act
together.
It does
not look like it.
And so now we're waiting for football come September.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand the issue that's at hand. I understand it's of grave importance to a lot of African-Americans in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, we don't know, because we've been talking about this. Dr. King said it was going to come, and we've seen so many others, but nothing like this, Kip.
Mm.
Nothing like this.
So check me on this. Maybe I'm reaching, but now it feels like LeBron is coming out of more of the Dr. Martin Luther King mold, and Kyrie's now coming out of the Malcolm X mold, right? It feels like that, and it's a little bit of it.
But Skip, people do realize that Dr. King, although he was protesting a lot of days, he still got up in the pulpit at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X still led services, even though he was protesting.
Right.
So you can do...
And I do believe every night in Orlando, LeBron will mount the pulpit after the game.
Absolutely.
And he will preach.
Yes.
And
yes.
It will be a huge platform. And I know he's had his socials, but it's not the same as post-game.
Mm-hmm.
He just scored 42 against the Clippers, whatever.
Yep.
And he speaks.
Yes.
Okay? I'm listening. I'm all ears. But I do think this is a threat. And I don't want to see the league split apart over this because I don't know how many players are going to be with. They're trying to speak for the voiceless players.
Right.
They want the rank and file to come over on their side. The players who, according to this manifesto, would fear some sort of retribution right now. I'm not sure there would be any retribution.
Yeah, you're pretty guaranteed.
Yeah, right? Now's the time for anybody to
speak. Why those guys didn't take that knee alongside Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. They didn't have that guaranteed money. Ooh. You can do whatever you want to do because even when the season picks back up next year, that salary, that $35 million, that $20 million, whatever it is, that's guaranteed. So whatever, you might get traded from a said team, but I'm still going to get my money. There was complications that came along with taking the knee side Colin Kaepernick because that money wasn't guaranteed.
Yep.
And so the owners get like, nah, we're not having it. That's why Jerry could say that.
Yep.
Can you imagine saying you won't play for the Dallas Cowboys. He paying Dak Prescott $40 million a year, Skip. Dak takes a knee, and he said, nah, Dak, you're not playing today. You know that's not going to happen, Skip.
No, it will not happen. So I was not with Kyrie, who can be a little out there when it comes to Earth is flat or UFOs or conspiracy theories about assassinations of JFK and attempted assassination of Bob Marley or the existence of the Illuminati. But now I'm with the cause that he is championing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. It's a collision course.
Right.
And I hope they all figure it out because obviously in the end, we would love to see them play.
Skip, but at the end, you know what it's going to be like? This reminds you of the strike of 87. Mm-hmm. And I know you was covering it at the time.
NFL.
NFL. Mm-hmm. Skip, they had the scab players. That's what they call them, the cattle scab.
Replacement
players. But guess what happened, Skip, on a funny thing? All of a sudden, they had some big-name guys that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They started coming back.
Well, I was there the night at Old Texas Stadium. It was Dallas versus Washington on Monday Night Football, and Joe Gibbs had all of his replacements.
He did.
And all of a sudden, Randy White, Too Tall Jones, Tony Dorsett, who else? There were some other stars walked the, so to speak, picket line.
They weren't the only one. There was a couple in San Francisco that crossed over, too. We don't need to get into that name, but that's what happened.
And guess who won the game? The replacements at Dallas won the game.
I had a former teammate that went with me in Savannah State that was on that replacement squad at Washington. He got a Super Bowl ring, too. But, Skip, that's what's going to – the question is, I understand Kyrie has his group of the, I guess we would say the less voiceless, mm-hmm. the people that don't feel that their voice is amplified as, say, LeBron or Giannis or yep. Kawhi, even though Kawhi doesn't speak much, when he does speak, people listen.
Yep.
The question is, if those top 15 superstars go play, Skip, they're going to play.
Yeah. That's the difference in NFL, NBA.
Yes.
You can get away by putting the helmets on replacement players. It was still not fun to watch, but you can kind of get away with it.
Yep.
You can't get away with this.
Nope. You can't. Mm-mm.
I hope we do hear from LeBron in the next couple days. I'm waiting to hear from him. No mercy. Deion Sanders opened up to Antonio Brown by sharing the story of how he attempted suicide after getting caught up in trying to live up to the hype and trying to always be who the fans wanted him to be. Deion also commended AB for reaching out and getting help before he'd gotten to that point. So, Shannon, what do you make of Deion sharing this with AB?
Skip, you know I know Deion,
yep.
time as we call him, mm. very well. He's probably one of the closest friends that I have that I didn't actually play with.
Yep.
And so we talk all the time. We talk periodically. A lot. I would say probably a couple of times a month. And known him for a long time. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to have a positive impact on AB. And what he's saying is like, bro, that AB persona is what's getting you in trouble.
I agree.
It's the same thing as the prime time that led me down a path that I almost didn't come back from. He says, even though I was at the rock bottom, I found a way, I found my way. And he talks about this. He's heavily into the Bible. He said, I found my way back home. The differences between AB and time is that time internalized his. AB lashes out on everybody else. He takes it out on everybody. It's everybody else's fault.
Good point.
And so I think the thing is that time says, bro, if you want to get back in the league and you should be in the league, you're still a top receiver, you're going to have to change some things yep. about the way you do business. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to change the way you behave. He knows it, and time is a big team guy. Hey, do you, but don't nothing come before the team. Don't interrupt the team. And a lot of times in what we saw, he interrupted the team in Pittsburgh his last 4 or 5 years. He was interrupting the team even before he even got on the team in Oakland. Yeah. Now, he wasn't going to be a problem, but the New England situation, if he could have just held his thumbs for a couple more days, Kim, that might have been an okay situation Maybe. For him in New England.
Yep.
But I think time is trying to reach out to him, trying to mentor him, and trying to show. And time carries a lot of weight in the NFL. And if teams see that, oh, you're talking to time and what he represents, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's give Antonio Brown another shot. So I commend him. I think Antonio has learned a lesson. He knows. They're going to play by my rule. The NFL is not going to play by any player's rule in the NFL. Ever, never, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
Because if you think they're going to play by your rules, guess what? They'll change the rules and find a way to get you up out of there. So he's finding that out. But I commend time for taking the time to put in with AB and says, bro, you're going about this all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got fewer years left than you actually think. Don't waste them talking about, man, I wish I had done this. Because a lot of times, Skip, we have a revision. Man, I sure wish I'd have trained a little harder. Or I sure wish I wouldn't have said this or done that. And time is trying to get to him and say, bro, this time is not too late, but you got to change your way. The behavior that you're exhibiting, that's not good.
Mm.
And I'm not proclaiming to be some mental health expert, but I guess time was saying, hey, I was in that ditch also, bro. I was down there low and was about to do some things. I was about to leave here.
Yeah.
Take my advice, bro. Clean yourself up and get back out on the field.
I love everything you just said because I love Deion Sanders. But I will be the first to tell you, I did not love him when I covered him. He was difficult.
He can be.
He could be arrogant. He could be thin-skinned. But I always just revered him because he is the GOAT. And it's not even close right. to me. He is the GOAT cornerback.
Well, he got Tim McCarver. Tim McCarver criticized
dumped
him for
water on his head.
Where he was going back Atlanta, he was playing Atlanta yeah. and for the Braves. And so he flew from Miami to be with Atlanta and Pittsburgh, and he says he's being selfish.
Tim's a good man. He didn't deserve it.
No, he didn't.
Deion saw the light in ways that a GOAT has a hard time seeing the light.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote about it in his book. He drove himself off a cliff attempting to end it because mm-hmm. he had reached the point, as he said, of devastation, going through a marital breakup,
mm-hmm.
and he just hit bottom. And I loved what you said about the disconnect that he finally came to to experience, to come to grips with, which is the disconnect between the real is Deion Sanders.
Yep.
The unreal is prime time.
Right? Yep.
That's, and you call him the nickname, but now he's Deion. In his heart and mind, he's Deion
right.
now. And Deion is really a good man.
He is.
And Deion's heart is in the right place. And he has dedicated so much time to mentoring young players coming up. They just have to open their ears and hear. So when I watched that video yesterday, I didn't watch Deion speak. I watched AB listen. Mm-hmm. AB can fool you. He can come on like, and I was trying to think, are those words hitting home? Because this was some, he was spitting some deep, real truth at mm-hmm. him. There's AB. He'll just get you in trouble because everybody wants you to be AB. And then you start thinking, I got to be AB off the field.
Right.
Well, then that happens and that happened. You're exactly right. Deion went inward. AB lashes outward.
Right.
And yet the real is Antonio. And if he can come to grips with the real, and again, Deion said that he is undergoing some sort of counseling. Is it taking? Is it connecting? Is it hitting home mm-hmm. with Antonio? Is he hearing it? Because we've both been around Antonio. He can give you, yeah.
He's so soft-spoken, yeah. Skip, and I think that's the thing. You hear his voice, yeah, you know yeah. what I'm saying. And he go right back out there and do what he said he wasn't going to do again.
Yeah, and I loved your point also. Deion was always about the team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he could, he was an entertainer, and when he picked a ball off, he could strut his stuff the way nobody could.
Yep.
And I loved watching him. I love watching him play receiver for the Dallas Cowboys in 1995. But in the end, when it was time, the time was about team.
Yep.
And AB has never been really about team. He's been about AB. He's a solo act. Mm-hmm. So will AB, I don't even know if he's ever going to get reinstated.
Right.
Because he's still facing some serious charges.
Right. He played one, and he got community service, and he got probation. So that's one down, but there's the other one that's still looming.
He has two accusations mm-hmm. hanging over him right now from two different women. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out.
Right.
We'll see how the commissioner acts on this, what he rules on this. I'm not sure he's going to be allowed to play this year.
Right.
But I believe he'll get another chance at some point, and he better be ready to seize it because it might be his last chance.
Right.
Because he's had a whole bunch of third and fourth chances along the way here.
Right.
So, again, I just want to say to Deion, we appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Because you speak real, and maybe you're saving a life here as you almost lost your own.
Right. I hope so, Skip. I hope AB can turn it around. I mean, he's done enough destruction to his life and those close around him that care the most about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, this conversation that he had with Time that leads him in a path that the path of right. And he no longer engages in destructive behavior, not only for him, but for his team and teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this thing takes hold, and hopefully he can get this thing resolved in the court system, and then commissioner does what he needs to do, and AB can get back sooner rather than later.
Ooh.
Speaks to Deion's character. How cool, Shaden, that you guys have such a good relationship. And every time we've had him on the show, just such a special person. And I hope AB takes the advice.
No mercy.
Yesterday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said that he would welcome a return of Colin Kaepernick to the league. He also said that he encouraged any team to sign the veteran QB. Goodell also said that he would welcome Cap's help with social justice issue. So, Skip, are you buying that Roger Goodell really does want to see Cap back on our team?
I am, but Roger Goodell does not own a pro football team
exactly.
that I'm aware of. So, Shannon Sharp, I believe that right here, right now, in the climate we're in, if Colin Kaepernick would turn up the public heat on the NFL, as in, I am ready to play, mm-hmm. tell me where to go, and to whom to speak.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Right.
I believe Roger Goodell would expedite that and attempt to make that happen, and it would have a fair chance of happening.
Okay.
We haven't heard from Colin Kaepernick, but now we've heard from Roger Goodell. And I believe after what I saw last night, this man has had a genuine awakening when it mm-hmm. comes to Colin. He did say his name last night a couple of times.
Yep.
And what he said rang true to me. I believe that he would welcome, as he said, and support a club that made that decision. But as he pointed out, that's not his decision. It would have to be an individual owner's decision.
Correct.
To want to sign Colin Kaepernick.
And you said the nail on the head, Skip. That's going all the way up to the top of the flagpole. That ain't no GM. No. That ain't no head coach.
No.
That ain't no player personnel. That's the owner.
Yes. So when Roger Goodell on the fly made that video of a week ago, mm-hmm. responding to the player's video of the night before.
Correct.
I think he spoke from the heart. And when he said, I was wrong and they were all right, mm-hmm. I believe he believes that now. Mm-hmm. I believe he would like to see justice done, mm-hmm. and for Colin to find a place in the league. He also pointed out and opened the door, if he doesn't want to play anymore, if right. he wants to, as he said, continue to work in this space, meaning the racial social justice space, mm-hmm. that he would be welcome to work with or for us in our hierarchy. Again, if I know Colin, not that I know him personally, but he might be sitting somewhere saying, over my dead body, will I go to work for the National Football
League? Right.
But I believe that the commissioner would welcome that input, that advice, the wisdom that Colin has built over these last four tough years. Mm-hmm. I think that Roger Goodell would love to have that man alongside him when these decisions are yep. made. There's just so much water under this bridge, and it's water that's turned into bad blood.
Yep.
Colin, Eric Reid sued this league for collusion, and they quote-unquote won in that it was settled.
Right.
It didn't amount to a lot of money for the NFL, and I'm still not sure how much they got, but I think it stuck in the craw of some owners to the point of, okay, you got us once, yep.
And that's what's so amazing to me, is because they do realize that President Trump sued the NFL. And the very people that
they
like,
true.
Hold no, on, did. Like, wait a minute.
Now you're going all the way back yeah. to the
USFL.
Yeah,
antitrust.
Yeah.
And when he tried to come up and buy the Buffalo Bills, mm-hmm. Skip, they did everything. They went back to the Pagulas twice, three times.
They did.
They did not want the man in the league.
That's a good point. Very good point.
People, and I'm like, wait a minute. Think about how you bent over a barrel to make sure he could not purchase the Buffalo Bills. And now you echo what he says. But Skip, I agree with everything you just said. I do believe the commissioner wants Colin Kaepernick in the league. And you also made it very clear that he doesn't own a team. He makes $40, $50 million to take all the criticism. All the boos, he gets those so the owners can get applause and stuff their bank accounts. But Roger says, I'm willing to take that. And that's what comes along. He works at the behest of the owners. They don't work at the behest of him. Mm. So it's going to come down. And it's hard for me, Skip. You saw teams sign players that had not thrown a football in 5-6 years, but you believe they're going to sign the guy that they didn't want to sign 3 months ago, 3 years later. Mm. It just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. I would be shocked beyond shocked if a team signed Cap, considering what they put him through for 3 straight years, and you took guys out of retirement, you took guys that were coaching high school football, you took guys that had retired for like 6-7 years, Skip, hadn't thrown a pass in 8 years. Yeah, we want him instead of you. Mm. But now, and I get it, the climate is prime, and it'd be easy for them to do it, and I don't think they get much pushback.
No.
But at the end of the day, Skip, there are certain owners feel the way, they don't care about the climate. Because guess what? It's always 72 and sunny where they are. So the climate does not affect them. It doesn't get too hot. It doesn't get too cold.
Yep.
It doesn't rain. So the climate, they're unmoved by the climate, Skip. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see it happening, because at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I still believe it was some bull job what he was doing. I can't. And because he did that, Skip, it's like, because you did that, I can't agree with this. Mm-hmm. Had you not done that, I wouldn't have heard you. So I still wouldn't agree with you, but just because I just got to find a way to dislike something. Sometimes, Skip, we can like someone so bad, even if it's a great, nah, I don't like that person. Nah. Mm-mm. And I think that's what's happened with Cap. I think there are a lot of owners that dislike what he did. He upset the cart. He upset their cart. They don't like that, Skip. They don't like that.
Yep. And remember the quote-unquote workout of last November?
Yeah.
the bad blood thickened because I don't know. It was he said that he said, but right. It just fell completely apart. It was supposed to be at the Falcons facility and what's this? The
Flowery Branch.
Flowery Branch. Mm-hmm. And at the last second, Colin and his group moved it 65 miles south near the airport to a high school stadium. Mm-hmm. And about a quarter of the reps that were there from the NFL made the trek down.
So even though they were, even if they were leaving Flowery Branch, they're going to have to pass the airport. So, Skip, you're actually closer to the airport.
Yeah.
But again, this was done by the commissioner. The owners didn't do this, Skip.
Yeah.
And so I'm not so because I'm not so sure they were crazy about the owner doing this.
Yep, you're probably right. So it feels like the commissioner's heart has come around to the right place. It feels like that the time is right for this. And I know much of America says, do the right thing. Justice should be done for Colin Kaepernick. He was obviously a very successful starting quarterback, but we have to go all the way back to 2012, 2013 in San Francisco. Two NFC championship games in a row, one Super Bowl, one controversial late throw that should have been pass interference, or he might have won that one. One late throw in the next NFC championship game at Seattle that Richard Sherman broke up, and that's how close they came to winning that game.
Right.
So we know what he can do. I've told you, if I could turn back the clock to those moments, he's much better than what Jacksonville has at quarterback.
Yeah.
I believe he's better than what the Redskins have at quarterback right here, right now. But can I snap my finger and make that happen? I cannot.
Right.
Because we don't know, after almost going on 4 years, where is he in his evolution as a quarterback? Right. I don't know. He hasn't played quarterback, right?
Right.
So what's... I don't even know what's in Colin's heart right now. Do we know? You haven't talked to him for a while.
No, I have not.
So does he want to play? Does he want to be the social justice crusader that he can be? We just haven't heard much. I do get frustrated. I wish I could hear more from him.
Right.
Because it feels like the commissioner has finally broken through and is reaching out. Mm-hmm. He's sort of gone open heart now.
Right.
Okay. Now the ball goes back in Colin's court. Tell us something. What do you think? What do you want to do? Do you want to... Colin's voice is so strong. Right. When he used to speak after those games, I was just, like, rapt.
Well, Skip, it's just hard for me to believe any professional, especially, you know, Denzel, a greater actor as he is. I don't believe Denzel can take 3 years off doing no movies, doing no stage, and just go back in and give you an Oscar-worthy performance. Skip, that's why they do it. If you look at actors, Skip, what do they do? They do it all year round.
Yeah.
6 months, they back at it to stay on top of their craft. Do you believe even that Michael Jordan at his peak could have taken 3 years off? You saw when he was not the Michael, Skip. He took a year and a half.
Yep.
Now multiply that by another year and a half. And so it's just hard for me to believe that Cap is where he left off in 2016 and picked back up in 2020. Because his best years was basically 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 2012, 13. But yeah.
Yep.
So And
I remind you, Cam Newton still doesn't have a job.
Yes.
In part because we're still in a pandemic and nobody can do a hands-on exam at this moment of Cam Newton.
Correct.
Well, would Colin fall into the same boat of, well, it's hard to get a grip on where he is physically right now?
And you're right. With Cam, people are going to want to touch him. People are going to want to sit. They want to sit down. They want to look him in his eye. They want to talk to him. They want to see how healthy that foot is. They want to see how healthy that shoulder is. But I believe Cam is right now is better. It's better than Cap. Cam just played. I mean, although he only played two games last year, Cap has been playing.
Coming off a Liz Frank injury to his foot.
And then he had those shoulder injuries. You know, Cam, a lot of Cam was because he died for the cause. Played through
for
some
Carolina's cause, he did.
Right. He shouldn't have played through and it come back to bite him in the butt. Because remember, Skip, when I tell you, you get on that field, they don't care nothing about you hurt. They don't care about no shoulder. They don't care about no Liz Frank. Mm-hmm. All they see is one out there.
Yep.
They expect those MVP plays that you had made, that you've always made. So you going out there and say, I'm sucking this up for the team and I'm dying for the cause, that's going to come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm. So I think we all agree Colin Kaepernick was right.
Yes.
But can we now make it right by getting him a job in the National Football League?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
It's hard to come to that conclusion often when we're talking about the current situation with Colin Kaepernick, guys. No mercy.
The LA
Times said that when the NBA season returns, it will be a mental challenge and teams will need to be able to grind games out. The article points out that the Lakers have already dealt with international drama as well as the shocking and heartbreaking death of Kobe Bryant, while the Clippers have dealt with their own issues trying to integrate two new superstars. So, Shannon, which team is mentally toughest, Lakers or Clippers?
Yeah, but sometimes I think mental toughness gets overrated because talent is what wins out. Skip, Michael Jordan could have been a mentally tough, but he was talented. Kobe's mentally tough, but they were super-duper-duper talented. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of guys. Pat Bev is mentally tough.
Yep.
He ain't Kobe or Jordan.
No.
So, for me, I'm taking the Lakers. But we don't know, Skip, because we've never seen teams play playoff games and not be in their building or the opposing team's building. Mm-hmm. This is neutral site. You're in a bubble.
Yep.
With no fans. So basically, it's like, I've heard someone said it's a glorified summer league game. That's what it is. I mean, for all the marbles, at least summer league, Skip, I mean, you're just trying to, okay, find a diamond in the rough somewhere and the guy makes the team or something.
But they're not going to play it like a summer league.
No, but Skip, when you play an NBA game, think about it. You play for the NBA championship game and you don't have any fans. None. So we don't know what it is. We don't know how teams are going to react because we've never been here before. Mm-hmm. We've seen teams go on the road and win a game 7. We've seen, you know, teams come back from 3-1. Mm-hmm. But again, we've never seen the NBA game play without fans. Mm. So we don't know. And plus, they got the GOAT. How do you not be mentally tough if you're the GOAT?
Jordan came back.
No, Jordan, I'm talking about GOAT James. Huh. Single mom, teenage mom. Not knowing no dominant male figure in your life, but this place, that place, in the words of Anthony Hamilton's song, Skip, coming where I'm from.
Huh. So nobody else has come from that background?
I don't know about them. Mm-hmm. I don't know about their background. I know about his background. I can talk about LeBron James, Skip. That's who I can talk about because I know him from Akron, December 30th, 1984.
Mm.
Great year. You know, that's a great thing. You
remember that means he's getting old.
Apple computer. You remember Apple computer? What? You remember that, Skip? Yeah, Macintosh.
Huh.
George Orwell book, 1984. This is great. Right. Yeah, I know you love Orwell. So, now.
He's even trying to stick his tongue out like Mike.
But there you go. No. Oh, my goodness.
Right?
You ruined everything. We were having a great conversation. Yeah. I was being, you let me go first. I was being courteous. You were being receptive to courtesy.
Okay.
And then you ruined it.
So, it's my turn. I did love the premise of this L.A. Times story.
Yes.
Because it used a quote up high in the story from an NBA executive, obviously anonymously, who said, "This format favors the team that can overcome the mental anguish that a quarantine has to produce." There'll be some going on there because you're going to be in that quote-unquote bubble. It won't be that restricted, but you're going to have to kind of stay within the confines,
right? A
man
has been in the bubble since he was 17 years old.
Well, all right, you could be. And the quote goes on, "It's totally unnatural in every way for those guys. Mental toughness is more important than almost anything heading to Orlando." And I would agree with that. This is going to test your mental metal.
Yeah.
What are you made of? Because it's going to be a sprint to the finish line. Everything's going to feel out of sync, out of touch, you can't touch anything.
Right.
And all of a sudden, no fans, and you play a few regular season games, and you try to knock the rust off, and you try to get back in the groove, and then here we go, and there will be a championship. I saw a quote from Steve Kerr saying, "It won't be tainted. It won't deserve an asterisk because it will require such mental toughness to get home quickly." Okay, I give you that. I still say when all of a sudden you give that guy 4 months off.
Everybody else got 4 months off, too.
I know, but he's at the end of year 17.
Still kicking.
What is he, 42 now?
Still kicking. Playing like he's 22.
Yeah, okay. Well,
excuse me.
How great was it to get 4 months off after you make your big MVP push and then boom?
What about
COVID says you get 4 months off.
What about your guy?
Yep.
They can't play back-to-back. He got 4 months off.
He's going to be pretty fresh.
Okay,
then. Okay.
I think it benefited him more than old GOAT.
So, as I used to write about Michael Jeffrey Jordan when I covered him in Chicago, he was a supremely talented overachiever. If you have that going on where you got supreme talent.
Yes.
And you are driven the way few have ever been driven. Maybe
Correct.
Nobody's ever been
Right.
driven. Now you got something.
Right.
Okay. So I just saw last night a website that ranked the top 10 all-time most competitive NBA players. And I'm looking down the list, and of course it goes Jordan 1, Kobe 2, Bird 3, Magic 4. I can go down the list. And it went 11 deep because it gave Dennis Rodman honorable mention. And guess who wasn't on the list of all-time most competitive
players? Throw the list
players?
In the trash.
Huh?
Throw the list in the trash.
23 was
Throw
not,
it in the
he
trash.
He did not make the list.
You and I know both of them.
I
That's
don't
a full
know.
Dive.
I don't know that. So I have often questioned his clutch intangibles, his drive to close a game, his killer will. And I also question the killer will of one Anthony Davis, his new co-star. Both of them very gifted, obviously. I don't even need to say that. But do they have that thing? Do they have that drive? Do they have that killer? I don't think either of them have the killer. They have the talent.
Ask
and it's
Boston.
Possible they can just win it on
pure Boston
talent.
Do they got it. Ask your Spurs, do Goat James got that killer drive?
Which Spurs?
Ask the Spurs. You know which Spurs.
The 2013 Spurs? That one?
That hurt. That hurt me to skip. Ask that hurt. Ooh, that hurt bad. Ask Chicago.
I watched him down the stretch of Game 6, 2013, in his house. I watched him turn it over three times in the last 3 minutes, unforced errors. I watched him miss a three with 5 seconds left to tie, long rebound, Bosch is in the game. Why, Tim Duncan's not in the game? Help me out. Whoa. I don't know.
Hey,
kick it to Ray Allen, greatest clutch shot I've ever seen, to tie the game and send it into overtime.
And then who took it over?
He took over. Took over.
But
my team was shot in the heart.
I saw your guys get ready to Drake ball. Yep. Had the ball up by the Drake some champagne.
They did.
And Goat James snatched it out.
He didn't. Ray
snatch
Allen
snatched it out of the hand and put him out and said, hey, we're going to Drake this tomorrow. Y'all not having this tonight.
So when we talk about mental toughness, we are talking about Clippers having edge. The team in the basement, the stepchildren, they got the mental toughness edge. How about Patrick Beverley? Is there any mentally tougher player in the league than that little 6'1" guy who blocked his shot at the end of regulation down three as he attempted to bring up a three-point shot? Pat Bev made him eat it on Christmas Day to save a game.
Skip, you talk about God, look. If you want to talk about mental toughness, there's only one guy that's been mentally tough and won something. That's Kawhi. We got Danny Green. Mentally tough. Okay. What?
Ask Pop how.
No, Pop. I'm telling you, I'll ask
off,
Pop.
Off that 2013 Game 6, he remained in Pop's doghouse till the day he walked out the door with Kawhi to
and
Toronto.
And in 2014.
You know
big
why?
Shot.
Because he did not screen off LeBron on that shot that he missed.
He missed it, he got it back
and made it. This was with like 3 minutes.
Okay?
He did do that. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
But the one thing I've told you, that man quit on my Spurs. But you want to talk about discipline and dedication? You want to talk about patience and game plan? He had a game plan. He wanted out. He was done with Popovich and the San Antonio way.
Y'all forced him out.
Okay, whatever. But he played the game exactly the right way. And he knew that he needed to go through Toronto to get home to Los Angeles to play not for his team, not 23's team, but his team, number 2's team, the Clippers.
What about my guy don't do that. My guy mentally tough. He'll stay he signed 4 years. He plays it out. He signs 3 years. He plays it out.
My guy could have chosen to play with your guy. Your guy thought he was going to choose until the bitter end, the last second.
Your guy was under contract and forced his way out.
Earthquake night here in Southern California. It was two earthquakes in a row because the second one was caused by that guy.
Did your guy?
When he dropped a little bomb right on LeBron's head and said, I'm a Clipper.
Yeah. And when we done with him, he's going to wish he came.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'd say that's mental toughness. And there's nobody more dedicated and disciplined on the defensive end than Kawhi Leonard.
What, he been getting cooked?
Really?
He could make him cook. Jason Tatum cooked him. Yeah. Marcus Smart cooked him.
Really?
Goat James cooked his last time out.
Well,
I mean,
he hasn't gotten to play much with the other wing, who's the ultimate disruptor, Paul George.
Cooked him too.
Now you got the two best defensive wings in basketball, and you've got the best point guard defender in basketball in Patrick Beverley.
And we cooked them all that last Sunday before the season started.
And you got a mentally tough sixth man of that perennial of every year.
Oh,
Lou
Sweet
Williams
Luke.
Coming
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I like
the
Sweet
end.
Luke.
And Montrez. He comes off only like 6'8", and he plays like he's 7'4".
We cooked Kawhi. We cook Paul George. We cook Pat Bev. Mm-hmm. We cook Quinn Mars. Yeah. We cook Harkless.
Okay.
All 5 of you had a chance and couldn't do nothing with us.
All I remember is that on opening night at Staples, the game is tied going to the fourth quarter. And what happened, Mr. Sharp? Your man scored 2 points in the fourth quarter, and the new man, Anthony Davis, scored zero. He goose-egged in the fourth quarter.
You see what you...
What?
Now see what y'all do? What y'all do is y'all talk about, oh, they haven't played together. Paul George and Kawhi haven't played together. Okay, they trying to figure each other out. AD and LeBron trying to figure each other out. That didn't happen last time.
Okay, then what happened on Christmas Day? Your guy had a 7-point lead with 6.5 minutes left because he had made a jump shot from 22 feet. And I'm thinking, that's it. That's game over, because you give Jordan a 7-point lead at home with 6.5 minutes left. It is cooked.
No,
it is done. And guess what happened? Number two took the game over down the stretch.
So
he took it over.
So Michael Jordan, so let me get this right. Michael Jordan was what? 15-0, 6? So Michael Jordan was 8-0 in the playoffs. He lost no games.
Against an arch rival at the United Center when it was at a big regular season game, he's not going to lose that.
They lost to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Well, they lost to the Knicks at home in the playoffs.
Well, but not with a 7-point lead with 6.5 minutes to go. He just wouldn't spit up a lead like that.
You keep chasing. Yeah. So now, if he can lose, but he can't lose if he has a lead. So Michael Jordan never lost a playoff game in which he had a lead.
Well, we're in 2020, unfortunately, right now. And the last time I saw those teams play,
what happened?
Your guy won because Avery Bradley, force of social justice, Avery Bradley made 6 threes in the game, including 4 in the third quarter when LeBron didn't score a single point.
No.
Well,
and then what happened in the fourth quarter? You told me the fourth quarter is the money quarter. Because mm-hmm. I've been trying to tell you there have been games LeBron has been hot in the first half. He's been hot in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. You was like, but that doesn't. Michael Jordan and Kobe were great in the fourth. LeBron was great in the fourth quarter. I want to know why. And Kawhi was guarding it. Because remember when Phil Handy sent him that text? Said, what's up, bro? What you want to do tomorrow? I got it.
Mm.
That's what he said. He said, I got H-I-M, capital.
Mm.
So who was he talking about? He wasn't talking about Paul George. He wasn't talking about Sweet Lou, Pat Bell. I got him.
Mm.
He got to see me.
Guess what? 4 months.
Did it.
He's fresh, and he's fresh too. He's been treating those knees for 4 months. He's ready for the sprint to the finish.
Got the wrong shoes on.
And furthermore, who's the mentally tougher coach? Would you take Doc Rivers or Frankie V?
Oh, Frankie V. Frankie V done been through a lot.
Yeah, he's a real mental tough.
Frankie V done been through a lot.
Yeah, he has. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to give me Jason Kidd or Lionel Hollins, you got me on that one, but
okay,
I'll take
Skip,
Doc over.
Coach. Skip, y'all got a better coach, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
But I tell you what we got.
Hey.
We got Goat James. We got the best player to ever lace him up.
I got Doc Rivers from the mean streets of Chicago, Proviso East.
He gonna play?
He's going to coach.
Okay.
He's going to inspire. He's going to out-chess play Frankie V, who's going to get lost. Mm-mm. This is where LeBron is going to turn on Frank Vogel. Just watch. The closer team is the Clippers. That's what happens when you get pushed down in the basement.
We don't worry about the pawns.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Ooh, October 12th is the last game. We won't get that far. We'll barely be in October by the time we celebrate the championship. We're not going to October.
Last game?
No. It's going to be early October.
No, you mean Clippers Bucks.
No, Clippers ain't playing. Clippers ain't going to do nothing.
Clippers Bucks? I can't wait for Clippers Bucks.
Y'all just going to get out of our building.
Mm.
Go on down there to the forum and go on down there and then leave us alone. Because we tired of y'all anyway.
Yeah. We're building the Taj Mahal.
Yeah. They ain't got no artwork up in there. They ain't got no trophies.
You guys to separate at this point. Seriously. I figured you guys would enjoy that one. All right, good stuff.
No mercy.